Welcome into the Student Section Podcast. This is episode one. Hope you guys enjoy the episode today.
All right, what's up, guys? This is co-owner of Student Section, Stephen Rowell. I'm here today with my friend and also co-owner, Garen Covington.
What's up, guys? I'm excited to get this started.
This is going to be episode one of the Student Section Podcast. We've been talking about doing this for a while. We're finally getting it going, and we're really excited to do it. This is basically just going to be give our opinions on college football, just new stuff, top 25s, different things like that as the season goes on. Right now we're on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Radio Public, and we're in the process of getting it on Apple Podcasts as well as a couple other platforms, so it should not be too hard to find us. Going along with the podcast, we're starting a website and hopefully it'll go up soon. We're going to have college football articles, stories, news, different things like that, as well as a store on the website. We're going to have hats, shirts, different things like that. So our main writer is probably going to be Jesse on the website. You also may hear him from time to time on the podcast.
So if any of you guys do not currently follow us on Instagram, you can go ahead and do so by following @ Student Section _. That way we can keep you in the loop of everything. We're going to be talking about our podcast on there. Like, we can put it on our story. That way we'll keep you up to date on that. And also our website stories, articles, like he just mentioned. And then, of course, we'll be posting content daily. And that'll be key, especially with the season coming up, because we're going to be pumping out a lot of content for you guys. So, as far as the podcast goes, this is our first time really doing this. We're super excited for it, but it's going to take us, you know, a few episodes certainly to get in the groove and just get used to, you know, basically how a podcast works. And, you know, I mean, we've never done it before, so it's going to be a challenge for sure to get started. But we think we got a lot of good ideas for you guys, and hopefully you guys can you'll enjoy it.
All right, our first topic of the very first Student Section Podcast is going to be Phil Steele's top 25. He came out with his top 25 recently. He is a highly respected college football sports writer and analyst. So his first five teams, 25 through 21, are Virginia Tech 25, Mississippi State 24, Iowa 23, Stanford 22, and Iowa State 21. So getting to these teams, Virginia Tech, they're one of two teams to have a losing record last year in his top 25. They went 6-7. We think they'll be improved. They really can only go up from here. So,
yeah, I definitely think they'll improve. Like you said, I think it's a make it or break it year for Justin Fuente and his tenure there at Virginia Tech. I think 8 wins should be a realistic goal for them. Possibly 9. You never know, or 7. But I definitely think they'll improve.
Yeah. Mississippi State, 24. Mississippi State's one of those teams that you see in the top 25, like in the 20s-ish, almost every single year, it feels like. And which, rightfully so, they're normally a good team. They're a top 25 team, I feel like, but they play in the SEC West, so that racks up a lot of losses. And then, they fall out of the rankings, jump back in the rankings, and that happens quite often. So we'll see what they can do. I feel like they're definitely a top 25 team, but they could potentially fall out.
Yeah. The SEC West really does hurt them. That goes for a lot of teams, too. I mean, you think about Auburn, who's in the West.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, think about if they're in the East. I mean, who knows what they could do.
Yeah.
But with Mississippi State, they lost a ton on defense. You think about losing Montez Sweat, first-round draft pick. The Simmons kid who played nose tackle, I think his late first round draft pick, who's suffered an injury late in the season. They're just, you know, they're really inconsistent at times. But one area of improvement that I'm looking forward from this team is definitely the quarterback position. And I know, you know, Nick Fitzgerald had a good year a couple years ago. But if you really think about it, the dude was not good last year. I'm just going to be honest. Like, he was a really good runner. He could not throw the ball. He had no accuracy. Yeah. I don't know if it was, you know, the changing of the offense from Dan Mullen to Joe Moorhead. But, you know, we'll see what Tommy Stevens can do.
Yeah, they got that quarterback, Tommy Stevens transfer. Iowa at 23. Also, always a good team, similar to Mississippi State. Great at home, great home atmosphere. They have a shot at winning their conference, or their, not conference, excuse me, their division. They definitely have a shot. Their division's wide open. So we'll see what they can do. Stanford at 22. Stanford had a down year. You know, a lot of people thought they could get to the playoff, so they're going to have to pick it back up. I like him in the 20s because they should be a top 25 team, but I don't see him, you know, being like a top 15 or top 10 team or anything like that.
I certainly don't see them as a playoff contending team. You know, they have a very interesting team. You got KJ Costello is going to be leading that team. A lot of scouts think he's going to be a great NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
He played pretty well last year, has a ton of potential. I feel like that team could maybe get 10 wins. I think 9 wins is realistic for them again. You know, Stanford fans might be upset with that. You know, David Shaw, that's a really good coach there. You know, you don't be disappointed, Stanford fans, if, you know, you're not in the playoff.
Yeah.
But you still got a great team.
Yeah, good team. They should have a solid season.
And then, you know, Iowa State, you know, coming off 8-win season, making the switch early on in the season to Brock Purdy, giving him the starting spot at quarterback. You know, just another team that we talk about having problems with, you know, just being inconsistent sides of the ball.
Yeah. I mean, Iowa State's interesting because it seems like they play to the level of their opponent. They beat Drake by 3 at the end of the season last year, which just doesn't really make – I mean, that
should – Drake.
Yeah.
Come on.
Drake. Yeah, you got to do better than that, Iowa State. But then, you know, they almost beat Washington State. They beat West Virginia. They beat, you know, upset Oklahoma a couple years ago. So Iowa State, if they could just win the easy games, then, I mean, they could be looking at, like, 9-10 wins, but they seem to drop, you know, these easy games. But
yeah. I mean, I like them as a team. I think Brock Purdy's a really good player. You know, it basically comes down to, you know, their competition. So, you know, if they're playing a bad team, they could drop one. Playing a good team, they could come out with a win, or top 25 team.
Coming in with the next group, we got Penn State at 20, Nebraska at 19, Auburn at 18, Texas A&M at 17, and Washington at 16. Penn State at 20 is kind of interesting. I mean, past couple years they've been in like the top 15. So they kind of had a down year, had 9 wins, also were thought to maybe make the playoffs, so still need to improve. But they lost. I mean, they lost Trace McSorley. They lost Tommy Stevens.
Miles Sanders.
So,
I think they're gonna have even more of a down year.
Yeah.
To be honest, you know, playing in a pretty tough conference, so they're gonna have to bring it every game. But the question is gonna be the quarterback, obviously, with losing Trace McSorley, who is a super good college quarterback. And then Tommy Stevens, who
was expected to be the starter.
Yeah, when he played some last year. When he was, the times I've seen him play, he looked like a pretty good quarterback. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that.
Yeah, Nebraska at 19. Nebraska is crazy. They're the second team in this top 25 with a losing record last year. They went 4-8, which is crazy to believe, and they're ranked number 19. The hype's real. They have a shot to win the Big Ten West, just like anybody else in there. Scott Frost, Adrian Martinez. Adrian Martinez also getting a ton of hype.
Heisman hype.
Yeah, Heisman hype. Some people think he's going to win the Heisman.
Adrian Martinez is a great athlete. Saw a lot of potential for him last year as far as his throwing ability, but he didn't really have a good offensive line or offense around him. Last year, he was running for his life a lot. So, you know, I think he needs a little bit more protection. You know, I don't know about Heisman for him, but he played so well.
He'll be good.
Yeah, he played so well as a freshman that it's hard to ignore, you know, how much potential he's going to have.
Yeah, I mean, Nebraska, you could see him in the Big Ten Championship. I don't know. I mean, the hype's real. I don't know what to believe. I don't know if they're going to be that good. I don't know if they're going to be... I mean, they're definitely going to improve. I see a bowl game easily. But, yeah. I mean, I think 8 wins... I feel like they should be shooting for at least 8 wins. Yeah. But you could see them have more. Auburn, 18. This is potentially the last...
Another make it or break it
year.
Yeah,
potentially last season for Gus Malzahn. If they do not improve, I say nine. If they don't get 9 wins, I think Gus Malzahn will get fired.
Yeah, I thought he was going to get fired last year. I thought he should have been fired until, you know, I think they got a good win against Texas A&M late in the season, and then they blew out Purdue. And it looked like Jared Stidham was really comfortable in the offense on the last few games. But, you know, there's a lot of rumors about him getting fired, and I know there's some rumors about them meeting with Bob Stoops and stuff. So, you know, it almost was like Auburn's athletic department wasn't all in on Gus Malzahn. So, yeah. I mean, if he disappoints anything, you know, probably less than 9 wins, I see him being gone.
Yeah. It'd be end of an era for Auburn. Texas A&M, 17. Texas A&M, that had a solid year, nine wins last year. But Texas A&M fans are going to want more. They're going to... You know, when that push in the SEC West to get to the SEC Championship. So, I mean, I don't see it happening. I don't think they'll win the SEC West or anything. But, I mean...
Well. I mean, it's crazy to think about it because for me personally, I don't even know if they'll get 9 wins. If you really think about...
Their schedules.
Yeah, if you really think about it, you got to play Clemson and Bama, and then their draw from the East Division is Georgia this year.
Georgia.
So, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
I mean, you could be talking about 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Clemson, Bama, and Georgia. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, and that's gonna put a beating on all those players. I mean,
for sure. Yeah, Washington at 16. Washington, I think... Well, they had a solid year last year with 10 wins. I think it'll be a good team. Jacob Eason will be at quarterback.
For me, I like Washington a lot. Out of this group, 16 through 20, I think the best team out of that group is Washington to me. You know, they'll have a good chance to win the Pac-12. Them in Utah, you can expect them to be fighting for it.
For sure.
Utah's super good, but I think I really like Washington, but. I think people are forgetting how good Jacob. I mean, they're not underestimating him or anything, but I think, you know, he just sat out a year.
Yeah, he's played
a lot of people forgot about him, but he played really good at Georgia as a freshman, and then of course he got hurt. So I think we can expect to see an even better Jacob Eason. And one thing that we got to think about is he's going to be playing against competition that's not as good as what he played against in the SEC.
Yeah,
so
for sure. Next group of teams, we got Miami at 15, TCU at 14, Michigan State at 13, Oregon at 12, and Texas at 11. This right here is where I find my first big disagreement with Phil Steele. 15 Miami, I don't know about that.
Yeah,
Miami went
15 and 14.
Yeah, both Miami and TCU. I don't. Both of them are coming off of a 7-6 season. Miami. The thing that Miami has going for them is they do have an extremely easy schedule, so they should definitely – I mean, they'll definitely improve, but I don't know about this upcoming year. I see him being a top 15, you know, in 2020, but not 2019.
I agree. You know, coming off of a bit of a disappointment year, I guess you could say, according to Miami fans, I think it was definitely time for Mark Richt to step away. He wasn't really getting the job done. Manny Diaz stepping in, a defensive-minded coach. You know, of course, the big acquisition on the offseason for them is Tate Martell.
Yeah.
Didn't have the greatest spring game.
Poor spring, yeah.
Yeah, really bad. But, you know, they got a lot of transfers in there that's going to add depth. I think 8 wins, you know, is a realistic goal. I've seen a lot of Miami fans really hyping up this team, like, 9 wins, 10 wins. People were saying they're only going to lose one game, which is that's not happening. just to be honest. But they do have an easy schedule, so, I mean, you know, maybe they could surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, at best, I could see a 10-win season just based off an easy schedule.
And, I mean, I'm not saying this team, you know, I'm not hating on them or anything, but Manny Diaz has been recruiting at a really good level, I think. You know, top three for the next class. So, you know, next year, I mean, ten wins, I think, can be achievable.
2020, I think, will be the year for Miami.
Especially if they have another easy schedule.
Yeah, for sure. TCU, 14. Once again, this is the other big team I disagree with. I don't know about TCU at 14. Last year, they were ranked highly going into the season, and they went 7-6.
Yeah.
And they don't have a quarterback.
Losing, 7-6, and then they're losing Sean Robinson, transferring out to Missouri. I don't know who their quarterback's going to be. I think they got a transfer. I can't remember the kid's name. But Sean Robinson was pretty solid for them, so they're going to be missing him a lot. 15-14, really. Yeah, I don't really know what he's thinking, to be honest.
Yeah, TCU's going to have a good defense as usual, but I think the offense is going to be questionable.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with a lot of these teams, like, you know, Penn State, you know, Mississippi State, and then again TCU, the offense and the quarterback is going to be key for them. Defense is, I mean, pretty good, and they got a good coach in Gary Patterson.
Yeah, so I don't know about TCU at 14. I mean, they'll be a solid team. Obviously, they'll go bowling again, but I don't know about ranked 14. We got Michigan State at 13, another 7-6 team. Michigan State had a disappointing season last year. Their defense is incredible, but I think this is how I see it happening this year. I think Michigan State and Penn State are basically going to switch positions this year. I think Michigan State's going to finish third in the Big Ten East, and Penn State's going to finish fourth. And I see Penn State having a similar season to what Michigan State had this past year, and I think Michigan State is going to improve and, you know, get around 9 wins like Penn State did this past year.
Yeah, Michigan State, you know, had a great defense, if not the best, one of the top, if not the best in the country last year. Their defense kept them in games alone because they did not have QB play. I mean, it just wasn't existent.
Yeah.
Or an offense that could move the ball. So, you know, I think points will be easier to come by this year.
Sure.
You know, Brian Lewerke, I know he had a shoulder injury last year. So a lot of fans were saying that was holding him up. Because his freshman year, or the year before.
Yeah, it was a decent year.
Yeah, he had a pretty good year. But, yeah, I expect them to definitely improve. Mark D'Antoni will get them back on track.
Yeah, so I'm fine with Michigan State at 13. Number 12, Oregon. I'm really high on this Oregon team. I think Oregon should be shooting for a college football playoff. I think they have a great team this year. Justin Herbert at quarterback, CJ Verdell at running back. I think Oregon, coming off a 9-4 season that some people thought they could get to the playoff, I think this year they should shoot for the playoff this year.
Yeah, I'd agree. This Oregon team's the offense is phenomenal. You know, coming back with Justin Herbert, who's going to be probably top 10 draft pick. Many people are saying, you know, him or two will go first in next year's draft. But you're going to have a great offense. We know that. Pretty solid defense. And Mario Cristobal, you know, really knows how to coach this team as he did last year. The first half is what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
If we can see that team, I think playoff, no doubt. You know, their schedule sets up nicely. You know, they just, last year after that Stanford game, they really went downhill. But, yeah, I think this team can make the playoff.
Yeah, I like Oregon at number 12. I think they'll be a top 10 team by the end of the year, and I think they'll have a shot at the playoff. Texas at 11. Here's the thing with Texas. Texas has to play LSU and Oklahoma. Those are their two big games this year. And so they need to avoid upsets. And then they need to go 1-1 against LSU and Oklahoma. And then they need to go win the Big 12. Or they can go undefeated in the regular season and then lose the Big 12 championship, presumably to Oklahoma. And then they still have a shot at the playoff. But if they have two losses,
they're not going to get in with two losses. I think really the thing about this team is that first week LSU, that's going to be not a huge test, but that, I mean, if they win that game, then you're going to have a ton of momentum. Yeah. And then you can have a little bit of wiggle room for, you know, a loss at when you play Oklahoma, you know, an upset or whatever, and then, you know, win the Big 12 and still get in.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you drop that game to LSU, then you got to run the table.
Yeah. Yeah, if you lose to, it would be, I don't know, what if they lost to LSU and Oklahoma and then beat Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship?
Won the Big 12? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess you have a puncher's chance of getting in.
Yeah, it would still be tough with two losses.
Yeah, it'd be tough.
So, I don't know. But I like Texas at 11. Florida at 10. Florida, I think Florida will go as far as Felipe Franks takes them. I think he's a solid quarterback, and I think if he takes another step forward, you could see Florida making a push for the playoff. But I think it just depends on how far Felipe Franks takes them.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Felipe Franks, you know, it's on his shoulders pretty much. Not really high on this team. I don't agree with them really at 10. I know the last, you know, their bowl game, they beat the crap out of Michigan.
They smacked them.
But I see them getting 9 wins. If I had to make a prediction right now, put me on the spot, I'd probably say 9 wins, because I think they overachieved a lot last year. You know, they had a ton of close games that they pulled out of, and they were in a ton of close games with Georgia kind of pulled away there late, but I'd probably say 9 to 10 wins, and then the next year, once they get some more depth, and then, you know, another year for Felipe under that.
So you don't think there's a playoff chance this year?
No, I don't.
All right. I think Florida, like I said, I think Felipe Franks, it just depends.
The reason is because I think Georgia's going to run away with the East. And then I think Florida's going to have a little bit more competition, you know.
In the East?
Who's their West draw? I'm trying to think. I don't know who they play in the West. But I think Kentucky could possibly give them another good game. I don't see Kentucky winning that game. They'll play Tennessee in the Swamp this year. You know, maybe Tennessee could give them a good game. You never know. Maybe an upset there.
They got to play at LSU for the West.
Okay, yeah. They played LSU last year. They play every year.
Okay.
I forgot about that. Yeah, so, I mean, I'd pick LSU in that game. Right. So, I don't see playoff being a possibility.
All right. Notre Dame at 9. Notre Dame comes off a 12-1 season in college football playoff appearance. I think they're similar. Well, I think they'll not be as good as last year. Mm-hmm. I think they went undefeated this past year in the regular season. Their schedule is actually it's definitely harder than this past year. They got a lot of tough games, and I think similar to Florida, I think they'll go as far as Ian Book takes them. And I think Ian Book will have a disappointing season, honestly. He's a decent quarterback, but I don't know if he's as good as some people think. I could see him, you know, having a disappointing season and then Notre Dame dropping like 3 games in the regular season.
Yeah, I definitely agree with everything you just said, because, you know, a lot like Florida, I think they overachieved a little bit. They beat Michigan the first game of the year last year. They beat Michigan.
Yeah.
And then Michigan really picked it up after that. And then
I think if Notre Dame and Michigan played at the end of the year, I think Michigan would have won.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, I mean, I could see them, you know, 9-3, honestly. I just feel like Ian Book, you know, last year, not a lot of teams had film on him, of course, because of Wimbush. So a playoff, you know, maybe.
No.
But it's I don't see it happening. So, you know, Notre Dame fans, you know, don't get discouraged. Sorry if, you know, if there's a 9 or 10 win season, because, you know, you're going to have a tougher schedule, and, you know, I mean
Chip Kelly will have him back in 2020. Yeah. I'll see it this next year or this upcoming season. This right here, Utah at number 8.
That's one of the biggest surprises.
Yeah, this is probably the biggest surprise in the top 25. Yeah, I don't know how I
feel. Definitely a solid team, though.
I mean, they're a good team. They're a top 25 team.
I do not see them as a top 10 team, though. Yeah,
I
don't know.
I mean, I feel like if you're saying they're a top 10 team preseason, that you think they have a shot at the playoff, and I don't think Utah has a shot at the playoff. I mean, I'll see them winning the...
What was the record?
9-5.
9-5.
They went 9-5 this past... So they had 5 losses this past year.
Yeah, 5 losses. That's...
Their defense was pretty good. They got Tyler Huntley at quarterback. He's a good quarterback. But, I mean, Utah coming at 8, I don't know about that.
No, Phil Steele, I don't know what you're thinking here, to be honest. Yeah, I mean, they could certainly win the Pac-12, but they're coming off a season where they had 5 losses.
I could see them going, like, 10-2.
Yeah, 10-2. I feel like that's their ceiling.
Yeah.
That's their ceiling, I think.
And they have a shot at, I mean, like a... If you go to the Pac-12 championship,
you can get a New Year's Six bowl.
Yeah, you get like a 14-win season for Utah, but I think they'll have at least 2 losses.
Yeah, probably.
Let's just read the last 7 right here. So LSU 7, Ohio State at 6, Oklahoma at 5, Georgia at 4, Michigan at 3, Clemson at 2, and Alabama at 1. LSU at 7, I'm high on this LSU team. I think they are going to be a great team. I have them as – I think they have a shot at the playoff for sure. I think they'll be improved from this past year. They went 9-4. I think the defense, their secondary is incredible with Del Pitt.
Yeah, they got Del Pitt. Del Pitt graded out as the number 1 secondary player in this upcoming season. I think it might have been Pro Football Focus who graded him as the number 1 secondary player. So they're – And they got Derek Stingley or something like that.
Stingley.
Who's, I think, was it Ed Orgeron said he was going to start, I'm pretty sure. He played really well in the spring game. So, you know, there's no denying how good this defense is going to be. They always have a good defense. But I think this offense, we're going to see a different type of offense. You know, Joe Burrow really got in the groove the last 3 games last year. You know, had a nice command of the offense. You know, the question is, what kind of help is he going to get on, you know, from his receivers? And they got a couple good running backs, too.
Well, I think that the implementing the new offense, right?
The spread. It would be the second year in the spread.
I think
so. Going to be good. Yeah, I think that fits Joe Burrow more than, you know, they're always the one LC, back or the pro style.
Yeah. But, I think LSU's going to give
Yeah, any Bama. Of these last 7 teams are going to have a chance at the playoff, and I see LSU having a great chance because of their defense.
Yeah, I think LSU can give Bama a run for the money in the West.
Yeah, definitely.
Ohio State at 6. This is crazy. Ohio State went 13-1 last year, and it does not feel like they went 13-1.
No.
It
really doesn't. They get a lot of, you know, of course – the joke around Ohio State is because, you know, they always have that one loss.
That bad loss, yeah.
That's all we talk about. That's all the media wants to talk about after that loss. And it seems like they have 2 or 3 losses sometimes. But, you know, they almost snuck into the playoff. But that loss against Purdue really hurt you.
Yeah, you can't be having those losses when you're trying to make the playoff. With Ohio State, I think Justin Fields and the defense – or the X factors. Justin Fields hasn't had a lot of experience yet. It'll be interesting to see what he can do. And that defense was just – it did not look like a typical Ohio State defense last year.
No, of course, Bosa going out early, not wanting to come back really hurt them on the D-line. Secondary was atrocious.
Bad.
They had a couple, you know, games where people just racked up yards, you know, beating them over the top. And then running backs gashing them up the middle from the games that I watched last year. So I think this, you know, this offense is – they lost a lot of receivers. You know, this team's really got a question mark. Of course, it's Ohio State. They're going to be good. They're going to reload. A lot of people aren't talking about what kind of impact Ryan Day is going to have because I feel like, you know, it's going to be – of course, he coached three games last year, so he has a little bit of experience. But it's going to be his first time as a full-time head coach. So, you know, I mean, he could disappoint.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be good as usual. If they had, like, a
chance at the playoff. But
for sure. They got a chance at the playoff. I think Justin Fields will be good, but I wouldn't be surprised if they lost a game or so just because of his inexperience. The defense has to be – if the defense is better, then I think Ohio State will be great. If the defense is bad again, then, you know, I could see, like, two losses.
Their offense has got to go out there and,
yeah,
you know, score almost every other possession.
Yes. All right, Oklahoma at number 5. I think it's been really interesting to see what Lincoln Riley can do with Jalen Hurts. Obviously, he's an extremely experienced quarterback and a great leader. But, you know, he's not, like, the best passer in the world. So, I want to see what Lincoln Riley can do with him. I think it's going to be really interesting to see
what he's going to do.
Yeah, what he's going
to
do.
And their team, especially their defense, they need to improve there. They're going to get in the playoff.
Yeah, their defense is horrendous.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's a lot worse than Ohio State's.
Yeah, I mean,
because Ohio State at the beginning of the year, their defense wasn't that bad, but Oklahoma had a terrible defense just every single game. They gave up 41 to Kansas.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's honestly just,
yeah.
There's no excuse.
You have the talent.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, and like you recruit perfectly fine. So yeah. I feel like it comes down
to. I mean, they let go of Bob Stoops's brother, who's the defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Their midseason, I think it was after the Texas game, when Texas just hung, like, I think it was like 48 on them or something like that. But yeah, as far, I'm not worried about the offense. I think Jalen Hurts is going to have a great year. You know, he's not going to be the type of passer that Kyler Murray or Baker was. You know,
he'll win games.
He
can win games.
He can win games. He's not the most accurate passer. He's, you know, just a heck of an athlete.
He looked great in the spring game.
He looked really good in the spring game. I know Lincoln Riley said the other day that they're still a quarterback battle.
I don't believe that at all.
But, yeah, Lincoln Riley's building a great track record as far as, I mean, you look at, he's produced two straight
back-to-back
years.
Back-to-back Heisman winners.
Back-to-back number one.
Yeah.
Overall pick. So expect to see them reel in the quarterbacks, really.
Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't want to go play for him?
Yeah, for sure. Georgia at number 4. Basically, I mean, it's pretty simple with Georgia. They got a great team. They're the top, you know, 4 team in the nation. I think, I mean, they just got to get over the hump. They have to beat Alabama. You got to beat. If you want to be in the play, last year, I believe Georgia was a top 4 team. I believe they should have been in the playoff even after losing the SEC championship. I feel like they proved with that game that they were a top 4 team. But I understand them not getting in when they had 2 losses like that. But if you beat that beat Alabama in that game, then you're obviously in the playoff. And you had the opportunity to do. You were leading basically the whole game. So, I mean, it just comes down to that. It'd probably be the same way next year. You got to beat Alabama in the SEC championship.
Georgia, you know, I think it really comes down to in-game coaching. The big thing with Georgia is lost both coordinators, both Jim Chaney and Mel Tucker. Jim Chaney leaving to go back home to Tennessee, and Mel Tucker taking the head coaching position at Colorado. I think the big one's going to be Jim Chaney because he produced Jake Fromm, basically. He developed him. And also, a lot of you probably don't know, but Jim Chaney was the offensive coordinator and quarterback coach at Pittsburgh when Nathan Peterman was there.
He was good there.
He made him a good quarterback while he was in college. We see what happened to him in the NFL. So that just proves how good of a coordinator and quarterback developer is Jim Chaney. But anyways, Kirby Smart, I haven't really been too impressed with his in-game coaching in these big games. You know, one thing that comes to mind is that fake punt. I'm always reminded of that because that was just one of the dumbest calls I've ever seen. You don't put a freshman quarterback in that situation in the SEC championship, and it was like 4th and 11.
Yeah.
But they just got to get over the hump. It is probably going to come down to, you know, that I could see it very well coming down to the SEC championship game again versus Alabama.
Yeah, if they went undefeated in the regular season and then lost, you should still be in.
Yeah, they had a
so you have to either one way that you either have to win the SEC championship or go undefeated and then you can take that loss in the championship.
Yeah,
but
so we could possibly see another two SEC team playoff, which would be interesting. I know a lot of people don't like that, but Alabama and Georgia are you could argue last year they're definitely two of the top four teams. So.
Yeah, for sure. Michigan at number three. This might be a little. I don't know if I'd put Michigan at three. I'd probably put them a little further back. But I do think this is the best Michigan team under Jim Harbaugh so far. And what it comes down to is you got to beat Ohio State. You can't keep losing to Ohio State. I believe this is the best Michigan team under Harbaugh. And you're gonna have Ohio State at home this year. You gotta go in and win that game.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to for me. Also, if you win that game, then that's gonna excite the fan base a lot. I know the fan base gets dogged because of that, and we'll see what Shea Patterson can do in the second year. I know it's supposed to be more of a spread this year, which I think will suit Shea a lot better because you see what he did his freshman year at Ole Miss.
Yeah,
he was kind of Johnny Manziel-esque. Not as good, but definitely had the same sort of skill set. Hopefully we can see that side of Shea Patterson again, and their team will be a lot more exciting, I think, with this offense. Their defense was really good. Last year lost Devin Bush, Winovich, and Rashawn Gary on defense. So they have some holes to fill there, but I think they'll be all right. But three's a little bit too high for me. They're going to have a chance in the playoff, but we'll see how thing plays out. Just comes down to that Ohio State game, like you said.
Yeah. Clemson at number two. Don't really understand why Clemson's not number one. I mean, they won the national championship, went first 15-0. Team in the playoffs, so yeah, it doesn't really make sense to me. But the key for me with Clemson is you just got to stay motivated. They went undefeated. What more could you ask for? You got to stay motivated, come out, win again.
Yeah, I don't really think there's much to talk about here with these two teams. I mean, we know what they are. Clemson, obviously, extremely talented, world class quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. Great defense. Maybe one of the best. Definitely top two coaching staffs in the nation. A great head coach, great defensive coordinator in Brent Venables. So, like you said, they're gonna have an easy schedule. They gotta stay motivated, and then once the ACC the championship comes around, you gotta be ready for that. And then there's no doubt they'll probably be in the playoff.
Yeah,
I definitely think they should be one. It's kind of. Yeah. Coming off a championship game where you're so dominant. And then
Reason I can think is why they're not number one is because of the revenge factor for Alabama, but I think that's dumb.
I feel that, but with I just don't understand.
I think you should not look at these outside factors coming into the season. I feel like Clemson's just the better team.
So,
whatever. Alabama at one. Clemson, Alabama, number one and two.
Phil Steele, top 25.
Yep, Phil Steele, top 25. There it is. That's our take on it. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with the Student Section Podcast.
Welcome back into the Student Section Podcast. We're going to move into our own top 25, our preseason top 25. Started off, we have a few honorable mention teams. Iowa State, Boston College, Miami, Mississippi State, Syracuse, Virginia Tech. We already discussed a couple of these teams. Actually, most of them in Phil Steele's top 25. It's not a knock on these teams. They're just a lot of times inconsistent. You got some missing pieces. Mississippi State, look at their defense. So, that's pretty much it on those teams. To move into our top 25, starting off at 25, we got Stanford, Army, Michigan State, Nebraska, and then Virginia.
Yeah, with these teams, we talked about most of these in Phil Steele's top 25, but he did not have Army or Virginia in his rankings. So Army's a very interesting team. They went 11-2 last year. They have a crazy good defense. Their run game's obviously very, very good. They hung 70 on Houston in their bowl game. So we see Army having a great year. And then Virginia is an interesting team. Most people are predicting them to have a very good year, and we think they'll definitely improve this year. They have a shot at winning the ACC Coastal. That, I mean, that's kind of open, like the Big Ten West, I think it is. Both of those are extremely open. So, yeah, we think Virginia has a shot at getting to that ACC Championship.
You know, I think Army, I think they're going to have a really good year. I think they're only going to go up, actually, from here in our poll preseason. Their defense is really good. Coming off that bowl win, it really is going to help them in the offseason. You know, have a ton of confidence going into the early matchup with Michigan. You know, I don't know if they're going to win that game, but I can guarantee you it's going to be a fourth quarter. That game's going to go into the fourth quarter with their defense.
Yeah, we have a Nebraska at 21. A lot of people were putting them. I mean, Phil still has them at 19, so he's got them a couple higher than us. But we don't.
You mean 22?
Yeah, sorry. Nebraska at 22. Phil Steele's got them at 19. So it's not that big of a difference. But, yeah, a lot of people were having them, like, in their top 15 and different things like that. So we put them further back than that because there's still a lot of uncertainty. They had, obviously, 4-8 last year. So we'll see what they can do. Moving on, 20-16, we have Auburn at 20, Northwestern at 19, Iowa 18, Penn State at 17, and Wisconsin at 16.
Again, a lot of these teams are already discussed. Looking back to Phil Steele, I do not think, he did not have Wisconsin or Northwestern in his top 25, which is, I guess I can see Wisconsin having a down year, but Northwestern, you know, winning their division, that surprises me. Not having, that's why we put him in, you know, coming off of that, a big year like that, and they're only going to go up, so, expect Wisconsin to have a bounce back here. As far as Northwestern goes, they're gonna have a shot to win it again.
Yeah, Northwestern had a great year. Wisconsin, I think Wisconsin's not getting enough credit. I think Jonathan Taylor's gonna obviously have another huge year. I could definitely see Wisconsin being maybe a sneak into the top 10. They could have a great year, maybe get a playoff shot, something like that.
I mean, yeah, you talk about the year before that. They had a sensational year. Yeah. You know, I don't really know. They're, you know, like a lot of these teams that we talked about, you know, their quarterback play is going to be key for them. That's basically what it comes down to. And, you know, they lost Hornibrook, so, to Florida State.
Right.
So, you know, we'll see what happens there.
Yeah. Then we got Utah at 15. UCF at 14, Washington at 13, Texas A&M at 12, and Notre Dame at 11. We have Utah 15, and Phil Steele had them at 8, which was very surprising to us. Utah's definitely going to have a great year. Utah's going to be good. Their defense is very good. But, yeah, we wouldn't put them in the top 10. We think that was too high. But they have a shot at winning their conference. So
I just noticed UCF. He did not have UCF in his top 25, which is crazy. I mean, what were they, 7th in the in the poll leading up to the
playoff?
The last college football rankings. I think they were 7th or 8th because of a ton of losses, championship week. That's insane. Brandon Wimbush expected to be the starter now with Mac Jr. going out with he suffered a fractured ankle or broken ankle. So, you know, Brandon Wimbush, you know, had his ups and downs at Notre Dame, so we'll see what he can do at.
I think he gets too much hate.
Well, yeah, I mean, he won't play the competition that he did at Notre Dame, even though Notre Dame didn't play a lot of good teams. But UCF, you're going to be in a weaker conference, so, you know, I expect him to have a pretty good year. And, I mean, UCF always has a great offense, so they're going to be able to use him really well.
UCF will have another chance at going undefeated in the regular season. So, I mean, they'll be, you know, top 15, we feel like, all year. So, Washington at 13, we discussed them. They're going to have a good year. Jacob Eason at quarterback. Texas A&M at 12. They'll have a shot, or they'll try to get a push to win the SEC West. Notre Dame at 11, we've discussed them for the most part. So, getting into our top 10, we got Florida at 10, Oregon at 9, Texas at 8, Michigan at 7, and LSU at 6.
So, you know, like we discussed earlier, we're pretty high on Oregon, both of us, actually. So we have them at 9. You know, we expect them to make a push for the college football playoff. It just basically comes down to how they're going to play their, you know, their in-conference schedule. We've already discussed both of these teams. One changes, we have Michigan a little lower. Phil still had them at 3. We've got them at 7. And I think, he had Texas at 11. We have them at 8. So, but we've already discussed most of these teams. So, you know, these teams, we know what we're getting out of them. Maybe not so much in Florida, but expect any of these teams to be a contender for the playoff.
For sure.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan, I think this is going to be the best team under Harbaugh. But he had him at number, Phil still had him number 3. I feel like that's a little too high. I would pull him back from that, but yeah, they're definitely a good team. All these teams in here, like you say, we're going to know what you get out of them. They're going to be good teams. So getting into the top 5, we have Ohio State, Oklahoma, Georgia, Alabama, Clemson. These have been, I feel like these 5 teams have been the best probably the past couple years. They're going to be good again. Georgia number 3, I feel like Georgia was probably the 3rd best team in the country last year. Did not get into the playoff. So we got them at number 3 here going into the preseason. Oklahoma 4, Ohio State 5. And then we have Bama, Clemson 1 and 2, flipped from what Phil Steele had them. Just feel like Clemson should be number 1 going into this season.
You know, one thing when we were making this, discussing our top 25, we had a real tough time deciding between who should go at 4 and 5. We're battling between Oklahoma and Ohio State. We ultimately landed on Oklahoma at 4 and Ohio State at 5. You know, just because we feel like Ohio State, you know, obviously their defense is not good, a lot like Oklahoma. But Justin Fields, we saw last year at times, I mean, what he can be, almost, at his peak, I almost compare him to Cam Newton college, which is crazy. Because Cam Newton was an absolute stud. I feel like Justin Fields can maybe morph into that. I don't know if he's going to be quite the same player. You know, Heisman-type player, possibly. We'll see. But ultimately went with Oklahoma at 4 because I feel like their QB play right now is more locked in, so to speak.
That experience is huge.
Yeah, just the experience. That rounds out our top 25. One more point that we want to talk about is Clemson. Clemson, as you know, they're in the ACC, or the ACC is a little bit down besides Clemson. You know, some teams are trying to get back to the top. Miami, I guess you could also throw Georgia Tech in there and North Carolina. North Carolina is trying to build that program back up with Mac Brown. But with Clemson, we want to talk about is, think about if Clemson, if they were in the SEC, you know, let's say they're in the SEC West, how different their, you know, their outcomes would be, I guess. You know, of course, they're still going to be, you know, have a chance to win the SEC every year, but I think they would have a much tougher time, but this team's insane, so.
Yeah, I mean, so I really wanted to talk about this point because I just thought it's super interesting to think about because we posted on July 6th, this post that this college football analyst, Pete, do not know how to pronounce his last name. It's like Futok, something like that. I probably butchered that, but he's a college football analyst, and he said this quote. He said, "Yeah, Clemson, you're great. No one's denying your greatness, but stick Clemson in the SEC, and they're like, what, Georgia?" And I thought that was super interesting. It got a lot of people talking on our page, and Clemson's easily the best team last year. I feel like there's no debating that. But I disagree with that quote in that I don't think they'd be like Georgia. So I feel like Georgia's a great team, but they can't quite get over that hump. And I think Clemson could get over that hump.
Clemson's more proven than Georgia.
Yeah, Clemson has shown they can win in the big games, and Georgia has not.
And their coaching staff and their players, best quarterback in the country, arguably best player in the country. So to say that they would be, you know, I don't know, not as good as Bama, but struggling like Georgia's to get over the hump, I think is dumb. I think that they would obviously be, you know, 1A, 1B, Bama, they're interchangeable in the SEC.
Yeah, I think so.
Throw them in the West or the East.
Yeah, so the way I see it is Clemson, it's their schedule, if they're in the SEC, obviously be in way harder than the ACC. The ACC's down, as you said. And so I would see Clemson day in and day out having to play these SEC teams. I could definitely see them taking a loss at some point in the SEC during the season, just like Alabama normally does. Because, I mean, last year Alabama went undefeated, but a lot of times Alabama ends up having one regular season loss. And so I could see Clemson doing that too, because, I mean, it's just so much tougher having to go in, day out, playing these SEC teams than, you know, a down North Carolina. You know, Pitt, they played Pitt in the conference championship, a 7-5 Pitt. So, I mean, it just shows that how much stronger the SEC is. So if they had, it would not surprise me if they took a regular season loss if they're in the SEC at all. Sure. But to think that they're going to be like Georgia, who can't get over that hump, I totally disagree with. I think, they would be.
Every other year, they'd either come out as champions or
like runners-up.
I mean, at least win their division.
Yeah,
for sure.
So,
maybe not if they're in the West, but you know what I'm saying.
So
1A, 1B.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. I think, so instead of saying what would they be like Georgia, I disagree. I think they'd be like Alabama. I just think they'd maybe take a loss during the regular season, potentially go undefeated. But, you know, definitely, I think they'd be better than Georgia.
Yeah, I agree with all that. So, thank you guys for tuning in today. That's going to conclude the podcast today. We're going to try to get these out, you know, weekly to you guys. Again, bear with us. Thank you for joining the Student Section Podcast.